The presidential re-election of Yudhoyono and its promises for consolidated democracy in Indonesia has had very little notice in Australia. Perhaps this is because it was expected, but I suspect it has more to do with the fact that Australians have barely noticed Indonesia's extremely successful transition to democracy. Of all the countries that went through the economic crisis, Indonesia is one of the few in which democracy has actually taken hold and in fact increased. Comparing it to the countries that moved into democracy in the last 20 or 30 years, such as Russia or Thailand, for example, we've seen things slip back. Indonesia has become more open, democracy has become stronger. This just hasn't registered in Australia. Attitudes in Australia still are fixed by the old experiences of an authoritarian military-backed dictatorship under Suharto. Despite the fact that somewhere around a fifth of Australians have been to Bali, they haven't registered the massive transition to an open, democratic, vibrant democracy in Indonesia. Why? Well, I think it's linked also to the collapse of Indonesian studies in Australia. We're probably at the lowest ebb since the 70s in terms of numbers actually taking Indonesian in schools and in university, and right across Australia, we've seen a depletion of Indonesia expertise in our universities. This is a consequence of a perfect storm of generational change amongst Indonesian experts, the axing by the former Howard government of support for Asian languages in schools, and then episodes like the Corby trials, the Bali bombings, and so forth that have created a negative image of Indonesia. The result is that just as Indonesia is emerging as one of our most important partners strategically and in terms of trade, as head of ASEAN bloc, our biggest trading partner, and just as it becomes an open democracy with a free media and a free labour market of the sort that Australia is comfortable in dealing with, we have less ability to read it and work with it. The moment the government-to-government relationships between Jakarta and Canberra are the warmest they've ever been. The Rudd government is built on the creation of a strong relationship under Howard. Unfortunately, I think the links between our people have gone backwards. So now we have a gulf. Canberra and Jakarta want to be friends, but our populations know less about each other than ever before. And so there's been hardly any comment at all on what has been the most important post-Suharto election in Indonesian history. 10 years ago, no one would have predicted that Indonesia, then under an authoritarian dictatorship, would emerge as the strongest and most resilient and most open democracy in Southeast Asia. This is largely as a result of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, who's just been re-elected for his second and constitutionally final five-year term. He created his own vehicle, a political party called Partai Demokrat, which earlier this year came from being one of the smallest parties in the legislature to being the largest. He's consolidated that early legislative success with a sweeping victory in the presidential elections, a massive landslide, over 60%, and capturing most of Indonesia's 33 provinces. This is enormously important for the next 5 years for Australia, for the simple reason that Yudhoyono, in his first five-year term as the head of a minority party, was forced into unwanted coalitions with the big parties, Golkar, headed by Yusuf Kala, and the PDIP party, led by former President Megawati. This meant he had members in cabinet and in government that he didn't necessarily want. It also meant that he couldn't get legislation through without cutting deals with what are effectively opposition parties. This has all changed now. He's now got the largest party in the legislature and an overwhelming mandate from the public. SBY, as he's called in Indonesia, has proved himself to be a good friend of Australia. Since cooperation over the Aceh tsunami, cooperation through the federal police in the very successful annihilation of terrorist group Jamaah Islamiyah that led the Bali bombings, beginning with former Prime Minister Howard and consolidating under Kevin Rudd, he's shown that Indonesia and Australia can work together. So it will be a great relief that this particular president, who works well with Australia, has won himself a further five-year term in which he will be able to determine the direction of government rather than having his political future mortgaged to opposition political parties. The second reason why this election counts enormously for the next 5 years is that the parties that ran against him in this presidential election, there were two tickets, Megawati and former Suharto son-in-law and cashiered general Prabowo, and on the second group, Golkar candidate Yusuf Kala, vice president under SBY, with former military commander Wiranto, both Prabowo and Wiranto being accused of human rights violations. Both of those two tickets ran campaigns based on nationalism, on a return to military reassertion, looking back into the past. Now, this spectacular victory by SBY means that the Indonesian electorate has comprehensively rejected the sort of juvenile xenophobic nationalism being put by Megawati and Prabowo, who are arguing about closing investment in Indonesia, returning to a security approach and so forth. And also the sort of cheap, superficial Islamic symbolism being run by Yusuf Kala and his military number two, Wiranto. We had Yusuf Kala wheeling out his wife in a head covering, a jilbab as it's called, and the electorate said no to that too. So neither xenophobic nationalism, revanchist militarism, or sort of superficial Islamic symbolism got any traction in this election. And that reflects what happened earlier in the legislative election, where the Islamist party, PKS, failed to increase its numbers at all. So the Indonesian electorate has said quite loudly, quite clearly, we don't want the old military approach. We don't want xenophobic nationalism cutting off from the world. We don't want Islamic symbolism. What we want is moderate, middle-of-the-road, conservative democracy. And we want human rights being respected, which was a campaign theme of Yudhoyono. And we want anti-corruption campaigns, again, another theme of Yudhoyono. In other words, Indonesia has said resoundingly, we want a moderate, middle-of-the-road democratic system that's going to clean up government. And that bodes well for the future. Why in particular does this matter for Australia? Well, trick question. What's Australia's biggest trading partner? Yes, China, but bigger than China by far are the ASEAN countries as a single bloc. What's the largest country in ASEAN? Indonesia, the leader of ASEAN. So Australia's economic future is tied to the ASEAN Southeast Asian group of nations led by Indonesia, more so even than it is to China or India. And the news that Indonesia's democracy has had a presidential election free and fair, that's resulted in a resounding vote by Indonesians for open, middle-of-the-road, moderate democracy, is good news. Add to that the fact that Indonesia is the only Southeast Asian nation that's increasing its growth in the middle of the global financial crisis. Singapore's growth has collapsed, Malaysia's in trouble, but Indonesia is still growing at around 6%. You have a real beacon of hope for the future for Australia and the region.